I'm going to examine the amazing things that can be done in the restoration of vintage joke routines through the use of modern digital technology. For example, just listen to this terrible, scratchy old 78 RPM joke. It was recorded in London in 1939 by Richard Murdoch and Arthur Askey.
My wife's come to the West Indies. Jamaica? No, she went of her own accord.
Not many laughs in that, are there? And yet, you know, that joke was considered to be very funny in its day. So let's run it again. Only this time, I'll play it through the electronic depunner and the anti-alliteration corn filter. That's a lot better, isn't it? Now, here comes the really clever bit. I'm going to play it now through the dynamic punchline booster and the hypermagnetic topical relevance and satire simulator.
My friend's gone to the West Indies.
Do you like him?
No.
That's a lot sharper, isn't it? But I suppose it could be said that some of the sparkle and magic that once delighted patrons of the old Tivoli is somehow absent. As a matter of fact, the only way we can recapture that true music hall spirit is to go back to the original manuscript. Well, fortunately for us, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation has in its archives a vast library of jokes on the original parchments, many dating back from before the 14th century. Here's a brief selection of some of the most antique specimens in the collection.
She was insatiable. He was ruthless.
Nothing approach to you.
5 years in the making. If only because no one would touch it with a barge pole. A motion picture as shallow as it is tax deductible. A work of total commercial cynicism. Now, based on a series of entirely forgettable love lyrics, comes a wholly minor movie by Jean-Luc Vichyssoise, filmed entirely on location in his suburban jacuzzi. Le Bloc Sentimental. A triumph of low production values, with an all-Australian cast, miming obscenely to the trendily acceptable French dialogue. Warning, this film does not star Judy Davis, Ryan Brown, or Mel Gibson. Small Town Productions brings you The Flux.
Bonjour, madame. Je suis Jacques Cousteau, and I have a very big boat with lots of radios and sonar and stuff.
Who's at the door, Dave?
It's only Jack Cousteau.
Oh, God, no, not again. Tell him we're very busy.
I would like to personally invite you to join us as we explore the wonders of the ocean in my big boat.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Cousteau.
May I come in, then? You have a big fish pond?
Why don't you try the Whiteheads next door? They own a turtle.
A turtle? Mon Dieu, a turtle! Le turtle sur le bicyclette!
Pardon?
Does this turtle ride on a bicycle? Does it get you work by the riding of a bicyclette?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Cousteau, but perhaps some other time when we're not...
I am not interested in leopards.
No.
I am not interested in animals. I don't want to drive a Land Rover or turn rocks over. I like fish.
Oh, please, Mr. Cousteau, you're dripping all over our port.
I am a fish.
Mr. Cousteau. Oh, get back on your feet, Mr. Cousteau. The neighbors are watching.
Don't you know? The end is coming. I wanted to do so much, but I only had 60 seconds. The pressure was too much, so I thought, why not be a fish and knock on your door? I would personally like to invite
you. Is he still there? Tell him we're busy, will you?
Will you have a fish pond and your neighbors le turtle sur le bicyclette?
Next year, perhaps.
We may take your leopard. He is amphibious.
It's his night for bowling. Look, I don't think it's very practical right now. Why don't you ask this chap?
I'm sorry, madam. Can't say that fish are exactly my forte. Chauvinist piggery is more my line. In fact, I'm here to introduce this week's sexist corner, which comes to you from the Cathedral Church of St. Flagellant in the Stocks at Willa Walla Bangalore.
There once was a country vicar who said to his curate, John, I bet I've had more women than you. And the curate said, you're on, you're on. And the curate said, you're on. Tomorrow outside the church we'll stand, and this shall be the sign. I'll ding-a-ding for the women I've had, and I'll ding-a-dong for mine, and I'll ding-a-dong for mine. Well, there were more ding-a-dings than ding-a-ding-dongs when a pretty young maid walked by, and the curate went ding-dong.
Ah!
Said the vicar, don't ding-a-dong there, that's my wife, I do declare. Well, said the curate, I don't care with a ding-a-ding-a-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong, with a ding-a-ding-a-dong, ding-dong, dong.
And now it's time for our weekly Pets Corner with our regular veterinary consultant, Bruce Losis. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, nice to be with you again, and as usual I'm speaking from the busy surgery here at my clinic in Drainage Hills, and this week's letter comes from Caroline Lump of Gravelvale. That's on the extreme outskirts of the city, I think, Caroline, where they dig up the aggregate for the roads, yes. And you write, Dear Bruce, at the moment I haven't got a pet, but I'm going to get one for my birthday. It will be either a tortoise or a Doberman. Which would you recommend? Yes, Caroline, well, I can understand the attractions of both these animals, and my personal preference would be for a Doberman, but before I tell you why, I'd just like to make a comment on another point, which is the emphasis you place on your birthday. It's a pretty well-known fact, Caroline, that people who go around stating the gifts they expect to get for their birthday are being what's called in psychiatric terms acquisitively manipulative, or in other words, selfish, greedy, and potentially violent. Who taught you to behave in this unpleasant way, I wonder, Caroline? Was it your spoilt, vindictive, and impossibly demanding mother? I think so, Caroline. Yes, I most definitely do, dear, because I'm sure a child of your age couldn't think up some of the dreadful things that lurk under the surface of your apparently innocent letter about a tortoise and a Doberman. And now I'll tell you why a Doberman is best, Caroline. If you train it properly, and it's quite simple with an electric cattle prod and a few bowls of raw liver, if you train it properly, it will keep your wretched mummy in her place, which, of course, a tortoise could never do, could it? Unless, of course, you had a rabid tortoise, but they're pretty hard to get in Australia, I'm afraid, because rabies, as you know, is a prohibited import at the moment. So, if I were you, I'd stick to the Doberman and train it in a few simple basic movements like throat leaping and arm removal, and everything should fall into place. Okay, Janine, good girl, and have a nice birthday. Now, this is Bruce Losis saying goodbye till next time, and please try to bear in mind, when you're dealing with our fairy friends, they don't have the advantages of our moral code.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there came a story of good against evil. The saga of devious extraterrestrial sporting identities against all that is respectable in our system. Now, episode 43 of Imperial Echoes. We join that paragon of interstellar ideals, Wimp Jaywalker, as the wise old Moby Maloney counsels him on how to face the satanic Imperial warlords.
Now, Wimp, if you insist on confronting the Emperor and the malodorous turncoat Lord Breather, you'll need to use one of these.
That's amazing, a luminous walking stick.
Oh, no, Wimp, don't be an idiot. This was given to me eons ago when I was about your age. Seems only yesterday.
Sure, quit rapping, Moby. How do I use it?
Quite simple, really. You know the interstellar donor kebab takeaway on Alpha Centauri?
Yeah, great hummus.
Have you noticed how there are never any mosquitoes in the area?
That's right, and it's in the middle of an H2SO4 swamp.
Well, the owner is a pupil of mine, Ahmed Tabuli, and he uses one of these. The most powerful insect repellent in the galaxy.
How will Wimp Jaywalker use his newfound powers? Don't miss the next buzzing episode of Imperial Echoes.
Karen.
Hmm?
You know how I feel about you.
Shh. Watch the movie, Greg.
I can't keep my eyes off you.
Then why did you bother to come to the drive-in?
Can't you guess?
The chainsaw.
What?
The chainsaw. Oh, oh, Greg.
Oh, oh. That's right, babe. Cuddle up to me. Oh. Karen. How about getting in the back seat?
What for?
You know.
Oh, Greg.
Well, I bought your ticket.
You only want me for one thing.
Yeah? Well, you are the only girl I know who can install stereo car speakers.
Carnival, featuring the acting vocal of young Jim Conway and his tiny playmates. But where did this soulful, vibrant, indeed ethnic rhythm originate? A new book tells it all. We asked Eric Child to review it for Slightly Out to Lunch.
Swing Under the Southern Cross is entertaining and it's amusing, but it raises a host of questions about the origins of jazz. According to the author, jazz was invented here in Australia by one Rudolf Strasner, a former Kapellmeister to King Ludwig of Bavaria. Strasner had fallen on hard times and decided to go to Adelaide, where he had quite a number of relations in the newly flourishing wine industry. Inspired by the number of churches in Adelaide, he composed his masterwork, Wenn die Heilige marschieren auf, or, as it's now much better known, When the Saints Go Marching In. In the years that followed, this new syncopated music found its way to the Orient via the clipper ships carrying gum leaves to Tokyo. In Japan, a group of young musicians from Osaka formed the original Adelaide Geisha Orchestra. From the East, wandering minstrels carried the hot sounds of jazz to America. To New Orleans, in fact, where Buddy Bolden claimed it as his own. But, whether black or white, the early jazzers always looked over their shoulder to Adelaide, the true home of rhythm. By 1927, Adelaide had become the sin city of the Southern Hemisphere, a rip-roaring center of gin palaces and dance halls. Perhaps the most startling revelation is von Zimmermann's claim that Fats Waller made an unpublicized visit to Tasmania when he was entertaining American troops in the Pacific area in 1942. And he goes on to maintain that this unlabeled acetate 78, discovered during alterations to the Hobart Odeon, could be the proof that jazz historians have been looking for.
You want some more of that, man? Well, you take over, pour it on them. Talk to me.
So there you have it, the story of Australian jazz. 500 pages of analytical deception. Klaus von Zimmermann's intriguing book, Swing Under the Southern Cross. It raises as many questions as it answers.
Run for your life! Mightier than King Kong, meaner than Godzilla, and more vicious than Skippy, it came from Widgie-Mopa.
...500 kilometers west of Widgie-Mopa, the city of Perth is at play. It's a cloudless summer's day, and the beaches are crowded with sun worshippers who've thrown care and most of their clothing to the four winds. Among them is our hero, Jason Furbish, ace reporter for the Fresh Fish Daily, whom we find sharing a tube of zinc cream with his girlfriend, the lovely Vanessa Esser.
I love it when you do that.
What about this?
That too.
And how about this?
Oh, yes.
And this?
Well, I don't mind, but I think the duck gets a little upset.
A man, a woman, and a duck. Away from it all, among the sand dunes of some remote beach, and little knowing what's heading their way from Widgie-Mopa.
Darling.
Yes, darling.
Happy, darling?
Yes, darling.
You don't mind about the duck, then?
No, darling. I understand.
It's just that Rover means a lot to me. Oh, see? He can tell when I'm talking about him, can't you, boy? Here, fetch. I've had him since he was a pup, you know. And I'd hate it if anything happened to him.
Of course, darling.
So, you don't mind having turkey this Christmas?
No, of course not, darling.
What's up, big fella? I think he's got wind of something. Fantastic sense of smell, ducks. What have you found, boy? Jumping catfish.
Jason!
It can't be. It is. It's a...
It's a giant! A sheep! A giant sheep! Run for your life!
Well, what has created this mutant merino? What are its plans for the city of Perth? And is this the end of Rover the Duck? Tune in again for the next exciting episode of It Came from Widgiemooltha.
It's 1964, and Adelaide is still the music centre of the South. The applause you're hearing is Adelaide's rapturous welcome to the Beatles. After their sellout concert, they were invited to spend a couple of days in the Barossa Valley by one of their most ardent fans, entrepreneur, winemaker and yachtsman Willy Handorf, who invited them to appear on his German language show on 5OK Sandy Creek.
The Beatles.
Hello, this is Paul McCartney. Guten Tag.
That's good.
Guten Abend.
This is George Harrison, from the Beatles.
Hello, this is Ringo Starr.
Wo habt ihr eure Karriere begonnen?
Or, in Germany, im Starclub.
Habt ihr damals Deutsch gelernt?
Ja. Ja, Rundstück warm, Schaschlik und Cornflakes mit Milch.
Noch was?
Frühstück und ein Tasse Tee, bitte.
Because of their Hamburg experience, and as a result of the overwhelming response from the Barossa German-speaking community, Handorf pleaded with them to record some of their new songs in German for private distribution in the area. So, for the first time on national radio, the Barossa tapes.
Hey, Willie was saying he wanted to do this song about some German bird. Do you know any German birds? I don't know any German birds at all.
Well, that's pretty daft. I haven't seen any German birds since we were at the Star Club.
Hey, Bally, could you wind the tape back a bit, do you think, and we'll have a go? Hey, lad, do you think you could simmer down a bit? Thanks, Barry. That's the one. Let's try this then. Shirley, my queen, she's so dumb, so dopey and serene.
Oh, you've got to be joking. Come on. We've got to be serious about this. This fellow wants it in a hurry, and he's playing for us and paying a lot too.
Do me best.
The thing's got to be in German anyway.
Well, I suppose that's a problem, yes. Well, look, have you got that list that he gave us of these German girls' names?
Well, I've got it round here. Okay.
You got your list?
Yes.
Right.
Now, you've got Lottie, Chowdo.
No.
Erika.
Erika, no.
Erika Liebling.
Liebling, no.
I once knew someone called Brigitte.
Brigitte, Alita, no.
Sigrun, that's evocative of the fjord.
Good
and all that.
God, Norman. Sigrun. Fjords of Norway. Why don't we make it a place instead of a girl's name?
What about Berlin?
Well, we'll try Berlin. This one will work, I know it will. I've been thinking about it. Try this. Berlin, ich bin seit so lang in einem kleinen Stuhl.
I don't think you can seriously consider that. I mean, I think we're wasting our time. We've already got the lyric down for Ein Heart Attack. So why don't we do that one? It's easy, you know.
Well, you think so?
Yeah, do it.
Well, Barry, you've got the track there, so it's on the other machine on the left there. So could we try that then?
Das war ein harter Tag. Ich hab geschuftet wie ein Vieh. Und es reicht mir, wenn du dafür sagst.
Here, I told you it would work.
Well, you're right. And that other one, I think, why don't we call this bird Michelle? I think that would be good.
Michelle, that's a French name, never worked.
I don't know. But try it.
Oh, jeez. I swear to God, I'll never touch another drop. Oh, go easy on the door, will you, Barry?
Ah, there you are, Bright Eyes. Oh, what's left of them?
Haven't lost your dazzling sense of humour, I see, Barry.
Oh, and you haven't lost your unquenchable thirst for sweet muscat at breakfast, Helen, darling.
Well, let's face it, darling. After 6 years of marriage to you, it's a wonder my liver isn't pegged down on the bloody line to dry.
Have you read the script, Helen? Or should I say, can you see the script?
There is no need to shout, Barry.
All right, let's go. Could somebody move her in front of the microphone, please? Roll tapes. Cue, Helen.
Hello, girls and boys. Auntie Helen here with Barnaby Bunyip's Silly Billy story time. And while Auntie Helen looks for a bucket, Uncle Barry's going to sing us a frightfully special song.
Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Daffy people, goofy people, dizzy people like me go nutty over things that you do. When we are underneath the moon above, you have me acting like a loon. It must be love, sweet love. Crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Lovebirds of a feather, always flock together. It's an old custom of the heart. That's the reason, baby, that I call you baby. I guess we're each other's counterpart.
Attila the Hun.
Cab Calloway.
Delivering Fiddling
Pepe. King Ludwig of Bavaria.
Hugh Hefner.
Ayatollah Khomeini.
Russell Hinds.
All executive TV producers.
Rasputin.
Barry Manilow.
Goran Dansmoer.
Blanche Waller.
Well, all right then.
Mr. Asia.
Martin Bormann.
Sonia Humphries.
Blessing.
Sir Horace Tuckerbuck.
King George the Third.
John Laws, no relation.
Bishop Anita Ganges, no relation.
George Negus, no relation.
Crazy people, crazy people, crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Daffy people, goofy people, dizzy people like me go nutty over things as you do.
Don't mind me if I rave a lot.
Sweet angel child.
It's just a habit that I got.
You drive me wild, I'm wild. Crazy people. Crazy people. Crazy people like me go crazy over people like you.
Yeah, the Asthma Brothers in a great new track off their latest album, Yes, We Have No Cicadas. That's the new lineup, of course, after Ronnie Slug left to become conservative candidate for Gwent and his brother was sacked for being dead. The new Asthma Brothers are Clint Moron on synthesizer, Gary Scum on bass, Nadger Harris on Deirdre Harris, and Ziggy Lobachevsky on drums. Tony Baldwin and Kevin Daly have been slightly out to lunch with Angela Weber, Jane Harders, Genevieve Moy, Adam Byrne, Drew Forsyth and Peter Smalley. Special guests Eric Child, Robert Parker and Tony Lee. Additional script by David Witt and Captain Lamington. Music was by Conway's Carnival and Willie Quar's All Stars. Script editor Julianne Ford, production assistant Linda Hughes, sound effects John Farkas, electrically recorded by Warwick Maver and production was by Kevin Daly and Tony Baldwin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gupta. Welcome to Australia. How are you going?
I'm not going, I'm arriving.
You filled in the card and you have a full understanding of Australian customs?
No worries. Always replace dead matches in matchbox. Always use left elbow when leaning on bar. Vegemite to be replaced in fridge after use.
Thank you, sir. Here's your passport. Have a nice visit.